The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, yes, it is. Coming to you from 97.3 Cairo FM. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you are with us as we steamroll into the weekend together. What a show we have put together. We're going to talk to a sheriff in our state who says that he will refuse to enforce Jay Inslee's shutdown of restaurants and bars. He's going to refuse to enforce the restrictions on family gatherings at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll tell you about that. Also, I'm going to talk to a high school kid, yet another of the many, who is just feeling like his future is being taken away by the school shutdown, the close down of all sports, the sham that is online learning. So we're going to get to all of these things, but I have to start with something very personal here as we get into, let's start it off as the big lead for today.
The big lead, top story.
Okay, is Nicole on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. So here's what happened. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I think we need to mobilize all of our listeners to help out. So
I mean,
last
if they
night,
have nothing else to do.
No. Even if you, first of all, nobody has anything to do these days.
I know.
Because everyone's just sitting at home watching TikTok. So last night, I get a phone call, I don't know, about 8:30 or so. And it was from Nicole, and you were very upset, and you were crying. And I'm thinking, what? This is
crying.
All true.
Crying? I have not cried over this.
You were crying.
I am not going to have people think I'm crying over this.
Well, it was the culmination of a lot of other bad stuff that had happened in a one-day period.
Maybe whining.
And you said, I'm so sorry to be calling you with this. And I'm thinking that something has happened at the radio station or, I don't know, to the show. I have no idea. And just to kind of tell the story, and this is not something we shared on the air last summer when you had a birthday, but you had a birthday last summer, and I was very proud of the birthday gift that I got you.
It was a good one.
And it was. And so you had been telling me that your soon-to-be former roommate, since you're moving into a place of your own as we speak, but your roommate had a kayak that she was using on all these warm days last spring, and you were talking about, man, I'd love to have a kayak. And so, and again, I say this not to toot my own horn, even though it was a fantastic gift, but I got you a kayak for your birthday.
Yes.
And you got out and you were using it on warm summer days, and we had an outdoor backyard party for some coworkers here at my house, and that's when I gave you the kayak. And I was very nervous. You may recall that first night, because you were going to put it on the roof of your car and take it back to your condo, and I said, well, how are you going to get it inside, because it's kind of heavy? And you said, oh, it'll be fine. Because you just said you have a storage area or a parking area where you could put it, right?
Right. There was an area outside. We're kind of hidden back here. Our parking area is kind of hidden. So unless you actually walk back to it, you don't see it. And then on the side of that, where the stairs are, there's like a cubby area. And that's where the bikes are hidden and where I was going to store this kayak temporarily. Of course,
but it's not a locked area, right?
It's not a locked area, no.
Okay. And again, I'm not trying to be an I told you so, but do you remember that I was very nervous and concerned?
I actually don't remember that.
No, but I bet you were. As you were putting it on your car, I said, Well, no, you have to bring it inside because somebody will steal it.
Oh, yes, yes, you did say that. And I said, there's no way I can get it in my place. Yes, yes. Yep.
And I said, well, your Jess can help you get it in. And you said, no.
Well, it's not that it's we couldn't get it in here. There's just no room for it.
Yeah, but I was very nervous because everything gets stolen everywhere in the Puget Sound area these days.
Well, I but felt you... like, except for Edmonds, I thought Edmonds has been doing pretty well.
You thought Edmonds had some blanket immunity from all the criminality?
Yep.
So last night, you're moving out, and first of all, I'm absolutely convinced that thieves target people who are moving in and out. When our house in Ballard got broken into, it was as my wife and I were moving into the house, and I think they target people who are in transition. And so some creep went into your out-of-sight, behind-a-cubby parking area and stole your kayak at some point, yes, either yesterday or the day before.
That's right.
This is very
terrible.
And it takes me back because my middle daughter, 2 or 3 years ago, I gave her a bike for Christmas. And she, at the time, she doesn't live there anymore, but she had an apartment with friends kind of near Green Lake. And I was nervous that the bike was going to get stolen. They had a locked area in their parking area, a locked, fenced-off area where you could keep things like bicycles. And somehow somebody got into her locked area and stole her bike. And I felt, I just emotionally, last night, went right back to how I felt when my daughter told me that the bicycle that I'd given her for Christmas had been stolen, and the kayak that I give you for your birthday has been stolen. And I'm just so filled with rage at how everybody is a crime victim these days. And we have all of the drug addiction, and we've attracted so much crime, and nothing is safe anymore. So you called the police, and what happened?
I did. I had an officer here within 5 minutes, and wow, she was very nice and took a statement from me and, you know, gave me a case number so that I could probably claim it on my homeowners or whatever if I want to, and renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance or something. So she was very nice and said they keep an eye out at pawn shops or whatever. But I know I won't see it, but at least I have this case number.
Well, but here's what I'm wondering, and maybe this is pie in the sky, but if the kayak thief, the quite certainly some drug addict who steals everything that isn't nailed down from anybody they can, don't they try to sell these things sometimes on Craigslist or other forums?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I've looked around a little bit. I haven't seen it posted anywhere, but I also think that they probably don't post it right away, hoping that, you know, after a couple of weeks I'll stop looking or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, but maybe our listeners will just be a little vigilant on your behalf as well. And so if people have any free time, if they can keep an eye out for a kayak, it's a bright yellow kayak. It's a hard shell. It's a Pelican Maxim 100X sit-in recreational kayak, 10 feet. Pelican Maxim 10-foot, lightweight, one-person, hard-shelled, bright yellow. And I would like people to just keep an eye out in the days, the weeks to come. If you see some, now there may be a bunch of innocent people selling kayaks right now.
Right. Ooh. I saw one. Yellow one that it's the kind that you sit on top of, so you don't have, it's not a in seat kayak. So right, it's not that yellow one, just so people know. Don't accuse that person of stealing my kayak.
Okay. Yeah. This is a sit in kayak where the seat is down low. But a Pelican Maxim 100X, 10-foot, bright yellow kayak.
I can't believe these people had the goals to come into our parking area, because it's very obvious. I mean, only people that live here pull into this parking area. It's not someplace, you know, you have to pull through an alley and all that. And they would have to come through, pull in, and load this gigantic kayak that weighs a good, I don't know, what do you think, like 60 pounds? It's heavy.
Well, when we were strapping it on top of your car, you had all these great tie downs but it took a good 10 minutes to securely fasten it on top of your car so it wouldn't fly off between my house and yours. And I don't know if somebody, you know, has a trailer or a huge pickup with a big bed, or if they just, you know, very flimsily attached it to a car. But yeah, I'm just furious. And the thing is, they're going to sell it for whatever they can get. And I don't want to talk about how much I paid for it, but they're going to sell it for, you know, like maybe a fourth of what I paid. Right. If that, maybe an eighth, if they can get 50 bucks for it. Oh, I guess I just said how much I paid for it. I'm furious.
Yeah, it's frustrating, especially considering I'm finishing my move on Saturday. It was leaving on Saturday, and it was going to be in a locked area after that, and it was just getting me to Saturday. So it's crazy how things like this work. But it's a good thing. I was not crying about it because I actually have kind of a sense of humor about my life. And yes, a lot of things have gone strangely wrong this week, but for the most part, I can laugh about it.
Yeah. Yes, but besides that, some yahoos at a big box store, they drove a flatbed into your cart, and your cart slammed into your shin, and they didn't even stop these store employees?
No. It was quite loud. Their, you know, motorized flatbed cart hit my cart because they did not even slow down, and it slammed my cart into the fixture and came back and slammed me in the shin and like took me down and no one even noticed. It was quite ridiculous.
Well, you told me that made you cry.
That one did. I mean, you know, a good hit on the shin does not feel good. So it's almost like a reflex that your eyes start watering.
And, they didn't stop, and no store manager came over to make sure you were okay. Nothing.
Well, they acted like they didn't see or notice. I don't know how that was possible, but yes. And then in addition to that, I sliced my finger open on a tape gun at a FedEx store. So it's been a week.
Jeez. And then after the finger and the shin, then your kayak's stolen.
Yep.
It's infuriating. Okay, so that's my call to action here as we begin today. And keep an eye out for this kayak. Once again, it's 10 feet, hard-shelled, bright yellow, Pelican Maxim. If you find this sleazebag who's trying to fence it so that they can make a couple bucks, let us know. And then what are we going to do if they let us know?
I don't know. I guess I'll let Edmonds police know. I don't know.
You know what? We'll set up a sting. I'll be armed and I'll pose as the buyer. I'll let the cops know. We'll make sure the cops are there staking it out, and I'll pose as the buyer, and then we'll take down these slime.
That's what we got to do. Okay. Just to end on a positive note, I tested negative for COVID-19 after getting home from Vegas, so that's good.
Well, there is that. Okay. All right. And I now know what I'm going to get you for Christmas already, because I was already starting to worry about that. So I guess there's that.
Off-season will probably be a little cheaper.
Oh, I hope so. It costs me an arm and a leg. All right. So that's our little personal story that we have. But it also does illustrate the much larger issue, and that is this really has become a sad, desperate place where even in what was thought to be our nicer suburbs, it's just, it's reaching out the ugly tentacles of crime, of drug addiction, of policies that all of our, you know, and you know, you look at Edmonds is Snohomish County, but King County's let's legalize all drug policy. It seeps like slime into surrounding counties, and a place that used to be so safe, so free from this sort of thing, it's just awful now. And this directly traces to our politicians who have created the policies that have enabled so much crime. Okay, I spent the entire big lead because I'm so passionate about this. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, the sheriff who refuses to enforce Jay Inslee's shutdown. He says, restaurants, bars, you go ahead and stay open because my sheriff's deputies are not going to enforce any of the governor's policies. We will talk to that sheriff coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as I've told you many times, I think that Jay Inslee's shutdown is outrageous. What's happening to the business community, the fact that there is no evidence that is tracing back to restaurants as spreaders of this virus, I do not understand what the governor is doing. I know we have another outbreak, but the cure is worse than the disease. In Klickitat County, the sheriff there, Bob Songer, he is taking a stand against the governor, and the sheriff joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff Songer, good to talk with you again.
You too, Sheriff. You too.
Okay, so you wrote to all of your constituents there, my deputies will not be enforcing mask wearing, indoor social gatherings, outdoor social gatherings, religious services, wedding and funeral gatherings, or the restrictions at restaurants and bars. So you are in full open defiance of Governor Inslee. Tell me why.
Well, first of all, I believe his orders are not law. And secondly, they're unconstitutional. Think about this for a minute. When government starts telling you who you can have in your home, especially on Thanksgiving or any other time as far as that goes, who you can have in your home, they have to be tested. You have to be tested. In other words, government interference. This is not Nazi Germany yet, even though they're headed that direction with it. We need to stand up. Not only the sheriffs need to stand up, but the citizens across this state need to stand up and be patriots and let them know, peacefully, of course, but let them know we're not going to tolerate this.
I mean, obviously, when you start making comparisons to Nazi Germany, that sounds quite extreme. Do you really believe that what Governor Inslee is doing is in any way comparable to a Nazi regime?
Well, I don't know if it's comfortable, but think about this. He's got a hotline, so if you want to snitch on your neighbor for not wearing a mask or they have too many people over for Thanksgiving, you can call their hotline. It's what Hitler did during the Second World War, had people turning people in. This is ridiculous. As you might see, I'm pretty emotional about this issue because I think our citizens have a right, constitutional right, to be protected against unlawful violations of their liberties and their rights under the Constitution.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And I wouldn't make a Nazi comparison, but here's what I believe is the proper role of government. And that is, get us all the information. Tell us why you think wearing masks is important, all of that. But then let us, as free adults in a free land, let us make our own decisions. Let us decide if our adult kids are going to come and spend Thanksgiving with us. I do not believe that it is the role of government to mandate what we must do. We are a free people in a free land, and government is taking that away from us.
Amen to that. You said it very well. You're okay. Spot on.
So are all the restaurants and bars over there in Klickitat County, are they all going to stay open in defiance of the governor?
Well, here's the problem. As sheriff, I can assure them I am not going to be citing them if they're in violation or any of that. However, I do not have authority over their business license. That's kind of where the governor has these small businesses over a barrel.
Yes.
he can send in, and I know you probably wasn't happy with my reference to Nazism, but he can send in his L&I agents, Washington State Liquor and Cannabis agents, and cite these businesses if they're not following his orders, his dictates. But I have told businesses, I've given my phone numbers, my home number, my cell phone number, and so forth. And I told them if L&I agents show up, or state liquor agents show up at their business, stall them and call me immediately, because I would want to be there as a witness to what there is going on. And I've also advised some of the businesses to let them know that you're tape recording their conversation between you and them, because what they say to you at your business, it might be pretty important to show that there's harassment going on.
And it might be unconstitutional, as you say. So let's say they call you. Let's say L&I agents show up at a bar and they call you, and you or one of your deputies show up. Are we going to have a showdown, or are you just going to stand by and be a witness and listener?
Be a standby, a witness, and probably ask some questions of those agents. Now, I'm sure some of those agents are good people following the marching orders of their governor. You know, so it's not a personal thing against individual agent, but I think it's an unconstitutional direction they're going with it. When they have to use a hammer, such as L&I agents or state liquor agents, to come in and, in my opinion, harass these businesses. Now, they have a right to take on their duties that fall under L&I or fall under the liquor agents. But beyond that, they have no, in other words, increasing their frequency and paying visits to ensure that they're.
Hey, look, now more than ever, we need people like you standing up for our Constitution. So, Sheriff, I appreciate your stance against the governor, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing it with me. Thank you so much.
You bet. And I think what these businesses ought to do is consider a class action suit under federal law under the Constitution.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for that. All right, Sheriff Bob Songer in Klickitat County. Sheriff, good talk with you. Thank you, sir.
You too, sir. Have a great day. God bless.
God bless you. All right. Love to hear what you think. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. President Trump just finished a little press statement where he's talking about, once again, reducing pharmaceutical prices. He did not take any questions at the end of his statement, but he is still working to reduce the cost of pharmaceuticals. One of the reasons why the drug companies were giving so much to Joe Biden is because President Trump was working pretty diligently to cut the price of prescription drugs, but he doesn't get any credit for any of that stuff. He still is challenging the election. He still is not conceded. The more I look at these vote dumps in several different states and the consistency of the margin for Biden with those dumps, I have no doubt that there were some fraudulent things going on with the election. I have no idea if the Trump people can prove that in time, but I do get weary of all the people. You should just drop it. Just give it to Joe. No. Just like Al Gore fought for 57 days after the 2000 election, Donald Trump should be able to fight for as long as they need. And if I'm Joe Biden, I want that. I don't want a quarter of Americans, which is what the number is right now, to think that I was fraudulently elected. One of the reasons why I was so adamantly against Joe Biden is because I look at what's happened around our region here in the Puget Sound area, where the mainstream Democrats, all they want is free stuff. And that's what all the rioting in the streets have been about. That's what the hostage situation, when they took over CHOP on Capitol Hill and were able to get $100 million in ransom from Jenny Durkin. It's all about something for nothing, where a former pimp can get $150,000 a year as a street czar. I mean, all this made-up stuff. And what it is, it's just about everybody wants something for nothing. And I hate that about our region, about our local politicians. And I know that that is coming on a sweeping national level. And I know that it's incredibly dangerous and damaging for individuals who might otherwise. I mean, look, when Barack Obama was president, what did he do about poverty? He put a record number of African Americans on food stamps. When Donald Trump was president, what did he do about poverty? He put a record number of African Americans to work. Lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, Hispanics, in history. Which one is better at solving poverty? Giving someone a job and having them work their way to a better situation in their personal life, or giving somebody food stamps and providing them an incentive to stay in the poverty class? And so, and again, I know this from my personal life, that if I had continued to embrace the handout values that I was raised with, I wouldn't have been able to break free. I wouldn't have achieved much of anything. And when I went to college, I would have loved to have had a great social life in college, but I didn't, because I was working 50 or 60 hours a week while going to school full time. And that's why I get so annoyed, so furious at what apparently is the number one priority out of the box for the Biden administration. He's been talking about it ad nauseum. He wants to just give away other people's money to pay off college loans. And they haven't decided if they're going to forgive $10,000 in college loans or $50,000. But that is his mission.
The student loan forgiveness figure in your plan, would you take executive action to achieve it?
It does figure in my plan. I've laid out in detail, for example, the legislation passed by the Democratic House calls for immediate $10,000 forgiveness of student loans. It's holding people up. They're in real trouble. They're having to make choices between paying their student loan and paying their rent, those kinds of decisions. It should be done immediately. In addition to that, as you know, I think that everything from community college straight through to doubling Pell Grants to making sure that we have access, free education for anyone making under $125,000 for 4 years of college. And there is a program that exists now under the law that forgives student loans for being able to engage in public service. I'm going to institute that fundamental change in that so it's able to be available to everyone that, in fact, is engaged. It's not being very well managed right now. So I'm going to do all of those things. Thank you.
Okay. But first thing he's going to do is just forgive $10,000 in college loans. So, and I mentioned this a couple of days ago. So not everybody needs to go to college. There are a lot of great trades where blue-collar, hardworking people can make six figures. So you tell me, why should somebody who becomes a plumber or an electrician, why should they have to pay off somebody else's college loan? The guy who gets a degree in women's studies and then finds out, shockingly, that he's unemployable. Because nobody needs a guy with a women's studies degree. And I've gotten a lot of feedback, lots of emails. First of all, from the 253, Dory, I have no college degree, but I make $85,000 a year as a garbage man, and I love my job. Thanks for the shout-out for blue-collar workers. God bless you. God bless you. I mean, that's the backbone, and not everybody needs to go to college. But you want to go to college? How about instead of having somebody else pay for your college, why don't you work your way through college? You can do it like I did. You can work 50 or 60 hours a week. Now, I didn't join a frat, and I didn't go to parties, and I didn't have much of a social life. But I also didn't get $50,000 in debt either. How about this from the 719 area code? Dory, I paid for my college by joining the Army and deploying to Iraq. What does Joe Biden think will happen to our military when everyone is getting free college? Good luck getting enough people to join the military. Yeah, you want free college? Join the military. You can do it. But no, 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 no. We got to get something for nothing these days. That's the era we are in the Puget Sound area. That's the era our nation is entering right now. And the Fastest 15 is coming up next.